This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, day number 621 of Operation Swords of Iron, and of course, day number 6 of Operation Rising Lion, El Aviv. And a lot of excitement still when we spoke yesterday from my bomb shelter. We just heard that some missiles from Iran had landed in the Herzliya area. There were some reports of missiles landing in the Herzliya area. Some damage to property was caused. There were buses that were set alight as a result of a direct missile hit. But fortunately, no injuries were reported. And at this stage of the game, we're just grateful for each time we receive a report that in spite of missiles having landed, in spite of shrapnel having landed in various areas, and we've noticed now that some of these missiles actually cause fires for one reason or another, and in spite of drones having been intercepted and landing and flying in our skies, we're just grateful when we hear that people haven't been injured in the process. And of course, we still get the regular injuries of people who rush to their bomb shelters. There is no doubt but it seems, at least to us, that they're trying to defeat us through a process of exhaustion rather than via military prowess. And I had two visits to our bomb shelter during the course of last night. One at around 12:30 a.m. and again less than an hour later. By the time we kind of got out of the bomb shelter for the second time, which was just before 2 a.m., I kind of thought to myself that we're in for a very, very busy night if that's how things have started. But fortunately, since then, things have been relatively quiet. And what's quite interesting now is that the number of missiles that are being fired towards Israel seems to have reduced a lot during the course of each barrage. So at the beginning of the war, we were experiencing barrages of tens of rockets, even hundreds of rockets all at one time, all designed, I'm guessing, to break through our anti-air defense missile system to try to scramble the system somehow and to break through like that. And to be fair, there were some missiles that did reach their targets, that did break through the dome that Israel has created through these anti-air missile defense systems. Now it seems that we're receiving missiles in the form of a trickle rather than a barrage. So we had some barrages yesterday that were like 2, 3, 5 missiles. Last night we had, I think, one barrage of 15 missiles, and then the later one was even less, 10 or maybe even 8 missiles. So many, many less missiles being fired at one time. And we can speculate as to why that change has taken place, whether they're running out of missiles, whether they're short of missile launchers, whether they don't have the personnel available to be able to launch these missiles. Clearly, and there is a lot of danger involved in putting a missile up onto the launch pad, because we've heard of a number of cases where Israel has managed to strike the launch pad of a missile even before the missile has been launched. So many fewer missiles are being launched at the same time. And of course, for us, that's relatively welcome. That reduction is welcome, because it means that our systems are much, much better equipped to handle those situations and much more accurate in shooting them down and protecting us.
Right.
The other thing which has been noticeable is that missiles have been fired from further and further away, more towards the central area of Iran, spreading east all the time. And from this, we can deduce or we understand that the IDF has been successful, the Israeli Air Force in particular, has been successful in eliminating the threats from the missile launch sites that are nearer to Israel's border around the Tehran area. And now they're having to resort to using sites which are more central Iran, a little bit further away, maybe a little bit more remote, require a slightly different kind of maintenance and staff to launch those missiles towards us. So all in all, there has been a relative reduction in intensity, but I think we need to be very, very cautious about jumping to any conclusions at this stage. I don't think that we can say, well, therefore, things are on the way down. I think there is still a lot more to come before this particular conflict is resolved.
And it's obviously at a very, very precarious stage, not knowing whether the United States is going to enter the war, Trump saying that he is not in the mood to negotiate. That's got to put people slightly on edge.
Well, it's sort of interesting because I did receive quite a lot of feedback before this war broke out with Iran during that time that Trump was saying, we're going to continue to negotiate. And during that time that I was reporting that Trump had said to Netanyahu, don't carry out this attack. And there were many listeners and other people who felt that this was not the right decision and felt a little angry at Trump for effectively tying the hands of Israel in terms of its ability to carry out an attack against Iran. I wonder how those people feel now and whether their views have changed and whether we can potentially turn back and say, well, I don't know that I was aware of the 60-day that Trump referred to that he said.
I only heard about that on the 61st day.
Right. And I think that, you're in good company because I certainly feel the same. I had no idea that there was a ticking clock down on the 60 days, and maybe just as well. But I remember speculating a few weeks and maybe even some months ago that Trump may be entering into these negotiations in order to ultimately say, I tried. You didn't come to the party. We had no choice with nothing else to do. And so now we're going to have to take care of business as we see fit. That is exactly how things have turned out. Now, whether Trump believed or not that an agreement was achievable during those 60 days is something that I guess we will probably never really know. And the fact is that, at least on the face of things, he tried. He did make an effort. He sent his representatives to meet with the Iranians in Oman and in Rome and in various other places. They had this weekly meeting that was supposedly taking place in order to try to calm the tension. He did make the demand that there would be no nuclear enrichment. So all of that really did happen. And to be fair, the Iranians could have called his bluff. And they could have accepted some of it, but they were very determined not to. Now, of course, they're paying a very heavy price. And Trump is determined. He's in no mood to negotiate. Unconditional surrender or nothing is the way that he's playing this right at the moment. We understand that President Trump did have a telephone conversation last night with Prime Minister Netanyahu. It was very, very amusing to some of us that we were sitting in our bomb shelters at around 1 a.m. this morning or 1:30 and trying to read the news updates to see how those missiles were progressing and whether they'd been intercepted. And we were really very concerned about the immediacy of that missile attack that we were under from Iran. And the only news that we were getting from the news sites was about the telephone call that Netanyahu had just had with President Trump. That wasn't really what we wanted to read about while we were sitting in our bomb shelters waiting to get back to bed. But nonetheless, that clearly was an important conversation. We have no idea what transpired, and I haven't seen any readouts from the conversation at all. But I do know that there have been further reports of American aircraft carriers making their way towards the Middle East. There have been reports of American fighter jets making their way towards bases, American bases in Saudi Arabia and other areas around the Middle East. And I just sort of wondered to myself, if Trump knew that this attack was going to be taking place so long in advance, he claims that I think the decision was taken on Monday already that the attack would be carried out in the early hours of Friday morning. And President Trump claimed that he knew about it well in advance. I wonder why he decided not to deploy his aircraft carriers and his fighter jets when he knew that this was about to happen. Whether it was because it might have raised up a red flag and made this Iranian suspicious about a pending attack and the American involvement, or whether he felt that America was really not going to be that involved and therefore he didn't need to deploy US hardware in the Middle East. That's a question that sort of I think about. And I think it's probably the former. I think it's probably because it would have raised up suspicions within the Iranian regime that they would have said, hey, all of these American forces are moving more and more towards the Middle East. It seems like something's going to happen. And by the way, that did happen a few months ago when we saw two US aircraft carriers being sent to the Middle East and lots of aircraft being sent here. I just wonder whether there was an attack that had been planned at that time, which might have been called off for one reason or another and never actually transpired. And then everything seemed to kind of calm down a little bit. The talks were going on in the background. The aircraft carriers moved away from the Middle East after they'd been involved in some attacks against the Houthis in Yemen. And so now all of a sudden, the US forces are again congregating ominously in the Middle East. And it just all remains to be seen whether they will get involved. There is one kind of elephant in the room with all that Israel has been doing. Israel is obviously, we know, has taken out the head of the Iranian armed forces, who'd only really been in that position for less than a week after his predecessor was killed. And I liked your comment, Howard, about creating business cards with pencil because of the temporary nature of those jobs. I think we also need to understand not only that this was massive intelligence to hit a person who'd only recently been nominated into that role. I think we also need to understand that this was an individual who'd been very involved in many activities against Israel over the years, even if he wasn't the head of the armed forces. And his name was certainly on the list of those people that Israel would have been after, even before he became head of the armed forces. But of course, the fact that he was nominated and took up that role over the last few days just made the whole hit look even a little more ridiculous than it was. But he was taken out yesterday. We understand that Israel overnight has attacked plants that are manufacturing centrifuges for the nuclear industry in Iran. Also, weapons manufacturing facilities, launch sites, as always, weapons storage facilities, moving further and further eastward in Iran as the western area is cleared up, and Israel just progressing further and further eastward to make sure that all of those sites have been cleared out. But as I said, the real elephant in the room is the Fordo nuclear facility. And if we believe the speculation in the press, then Israel lacks the hardware, lacks the weaponry to be able to really destroy the Fordo nuclear site because it's constructed in such a way that it's almost inaccessible, and certainly inaccessible from with the hardware, with the bombs that Israel currently has in its possession. And therefore, the only way in which Fordo can really be destroyed is with US help, either with the US providing the weapon, the bomb that is needed, the bunker buster bomb, the super duper bunker buster bomb that will potentially damage that Fordo site, or alternatively, leaving that to the Americans to do, because they will want to do something in order to claim credit. I mean, President Trump has done a pretty good job of claiming a lot of credit for
I
having,
said he's
you
like
know,
that guy in
this.
a you know in un at university when you do group work, does nothing and then comes in and claims a success.
Yeah, he's the guy who just hands in the work at the end, and he's the face of everything. And that's certainly been President Trump until now. Although, to be fair, we have to give credit to him and the US for the support
Oh,
they've
of course we
provided to
do, being
Israel,
in that
the military
position.
support, the financial support. Let's not forget that the F-35s and the F-15s and the F-16s that Israel is using to attack those sites in the US are all US aircraft, and much of the weaponry that's being dropped in the US in Iran is produced and funded by the US. And of course, the support that we've been getting, not only that came out so unanimously and surprisingly at the G7, but even more than that, the way that President Trump and his administration have supported this effort should not be underestimated in the least. But I suspect that the Americans may want to be the ones to drop that bomb on Fordo. But until that job is done and the Fordo plant is really put out of action in a significant way, I think we can assume that this operation will not be over.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always, Anthony Reich, with the Israel Report. We can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.